Welcome in the name of Christ, God's grace, mercy and peace be with you.
And also with you.
Very warm welcome to our worship this morning, which comes to you from here inside St Mary's. It's good to have you along with us for this Eucharist. As you all know, it's been quite a time of change for all of us. When we went into lockdown, we as a church at St Mary's had to adapt from being here as a church community to going online, as you are now receiving and being part of this worship online. As we come out of lockdown, which we are going to be doing very patiently and slowly over the coming weeks, it's really important for us to get as much information as we can about that online experience that you've all had. So we're going to put a survey out there, which we hope you'll take time to complete. It shouldn't take too long, and it's one of the unseen bonuses, if you like, of this period of time has been that presence which we've been able to maintain and how it's enabled people to worship in all sorts of different ways. So please take a few minutes to fill that in. It will help us as we plan for the future. And it also gives me a chance, as we're thinking about that online presence, to pay particular tribute to all those who've helped maintain that worship and will continue to maintain it through the rest of the summer. And particularly to Nick Jackson, who has done a fantastic job editing, drawing things together, and just being really helpful in this new world that we've encountered. So thanks to him, and please do take a few minutes, if you're able, to complete that survey for us. Friends, as we prepare to celebrate the mystery of God's love revealed in word and sacrament, Let us call to mind our need for healing and forgiveness as we confess our sins. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father,
we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit. In the glory of God the Father.
Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not our hold on things eternal. Grant this, Heavenly Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The first reading is a reading from the book of Genesis. The servant whom Abraham had sent said to Laban, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become wealthy. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and he has given him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house, to my kindred, and get a wife for my son. I came today to the spring and said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make successful the way I am going. I am standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, Please give me a little water from your jar to drink, who will say to me, Drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew. I said to her, Please let me drink. She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will also water your camels. So I drank, and she also watered the camels. Then I asked her, Whose daughter are you? She said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to obtain the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you deal loyally and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, so that I may turn either to the right hand or to the left." And they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will." So they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse along with Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "May you, our sister, become thousands of myriads. May your offspring gain possession of the gates of their foes." Then Rebekah and her maids rose up, mounted the camels, and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahairoi and was settled in the Negeb. Isaac went out in the evening to walk in the field, and looking up, he saw camels coming. And Rebekah looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she slipped quickly from the camel and said to the servant, "Who is that man over there walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Alleluia, alleluia. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Alleluia. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time Jesus said, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Open our eyes, Lord, to see your glory. Open our ears, Lord, to hear your call. Open our lips, Lord, to sing your praises. Then guide us on our pilgrimage of faith, that we may walk with him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. It jars with me, this story of Rebecca and Isaac. It jars with my modern sensibilities, with notions of freedom and choice. The image of Rebecca with a ring in her nose and bracelets on her arms taken to meet Isaac is uncomfortable. And whilst the climax of the tale is filled with romantic imagery as Isaac steps out to see the veiled Rebecca for the first time, and we learn that he loved her and that she comforted him, there's an oddness to this story. But then that's true of so many stories in the Bible that don't quite fit with our view of the world. And in the Gospel this morning, we sense Jesus' frustration and anger as he recognises how people feel about him, how odd he appears to them. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, "Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." It seems that when people met Jesus, they indeed sometimes found him odd, unsettling and disturbing. Perhaps it was his presence, his authority, his teaching and lifestyle. They don't quite know what to do with him. So rather than take him seriously, they were content to push him away, to label him a glutton and a drunkard. Here is the one we call the way, the truth and the life, who opened for them a different way of living, and yet they pushed him away. Why? Well, I suspect there are a number of reasons, but perhaps part of it was because he asked awkward questions about who they were, what they were doing, how they lived and loved. So they labelled him a glutton and a drunkard, as if to direct attention away from themselves. Does any of this sound familiar as we reflect on this gospel through the experience of life today? A sense of name-calling and labelling of people who are different, of people who don't fit. And before we think of others, perhaps most obviously on the other side of the Atlantic, perhaps we ought to think first of ourselves and how we respond when we are confronted with those who are different from us, those whom we label. I remember how difficult I found it to adjust, having been brought up in rural Cumbria, to multicultural Britain when I went to college in Bradford, faced with a diversity that I found bewildering. But there is another label that came to mind as I reflected on this gospel, that of scapegoat, Perhaps to direct others away from their own gluttony and drunkenness, they threw these names at Jesus. And scapegoating is still around, even within the life of a parish. I've sometimes seen how an individual can become a kind of scapegoat, whether it be the vicar or a churchwarden or someone else. And they become a scapegoat because perhaps there are wider frustrations and angers. But rather than address the feelings within ourselves, reflect carefully about where they come from within, we project them onto another person, who then become the object of our anger. I've seen it play out in workplaces too, where the wider sense of underachievement or dissatisfaction is often subtly placed on an individual's shoulders, as if when this person is removed, all will be well and all the problems will go away. And as we emerge from this period of lockdown, it will be interesting to see who might become the scapegoats, who become the focus of our attention, on whom we pile the blame for wrong decisions made. And this language of scapegoating, of course, finds an echo in Jesus's story, both in the gospel, as we see those in authority troubled by him, upsetting the order of things, labelling him. But then later on, of course, this projecting of anger finds its fulfilment in the cross, where his opened arms embraced all that is false in us, the labelling we do, and absorbed it, and ultimately transformed it by love. Something of that journey of transformation is played out in this gospel reading. For though we sense his frustration, Jesus will not let the labels limit him. He directs us to the innocence of children who have not yet learned the art of manipulation and falsehood. He says too that for us, weighed down by our weariness with our heavy burdens that we sometimes carry, that he gives us rest. Jesus gives words of balm to pour over our troubled times. As he speaks of gentleness and humility, words I think we long to hear. Yet there was, and will be, part of us that wants to resist. Part of us that longs to cling on to labels and scapegoats, to a way of seeing the world that puts people different from us in a place where we can be in control, or at least that's what we think. Which takes me back to the oddness of that first reading, and perhaps our prayer for this and every week. Rebecca is asked if she will go with Isaac. I will, she says. That same question is asked of us as we think of our life with Jesus. Will you go with Jesus? My I will is what I try and live every day. And though, like my school report, I know I could do better, I know too that it can and does make a difference. Let me just give you a small example. Last week it had been a day like any other, except I was just a bit cross. Cross with everything, a bit short-tempered, a bit more frustrated. I couldn't tell you why, I just was. I think most of us have days like this, especially at the moment. And then came my time for evening prayer. I'd quite happily not have made the time, being content to be grumpy, but in the time of quiet, as I repeated the words of the Jesus Prayer, words that I carry close to my heart, Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, something changed, and I wasn't quite so cross. This was for me a helpful reminder of the power of invoking his name in the midst of our lives. No matter how life is for us at that particular moment, his name in our lives makes a difference. For when we give our consent to Jesus, when we say, I will, no matter how timidly, when we let him be part of our life, his words and his presence can be balm for our oft troubled souls, can move us beyond labels and scapegoating that stifle life into a deeper life with him that will sometimes likely look a bit odd as we refuse to be drawn into blame and the language that diminishes, but seek to live Jesus' words of gentleness and humility for ourselves. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Will you go with Jesus? Let us affirm our faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father,
God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made.
For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Let us pray. As we gather today in spirit to speak the praise of the Lord and to bless his holy name, we pray for the Church throughout the world. We pray this week for the United Church of Pakistan, and the Most Reverend Humphrey Peters, Bishop of Peshawar and moderator of the Church in Pakistan. In our own diocese, we pray for all who have a special calling to serve God, and especially for Bishop Stephen Cottrell as he prepares to be confirmed as the new Archbishop of York on Thursday. Lord, we give you thanks for the faithful ministry and leadership of John Sentamu, and we ask your blessing upon his successor, Stephen. Bless and guide all in the northern province of the Church of England as we explore worship and spirituality in a changed and changing world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. We pray for all kingdoms and nations on earth. Imbue all ministers and leaders with righteousness and justice, that they might make decisions for the good of all whom they serve. We give thanks that we can hold our leaders to account for their actions. We pray for people in places where this is not possible, for those who can be imprisoned for speaking their minds. We pray for the people of Hong Kong, as their rights and status within China are contested. May a peaceful resolution be reached that is acceptable to all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Son of Man, who preached in the streets the good news of the kingdom of God, we pray to you for our community in Colton and Whitkirk, and this week for the residents of Detroit Drive. May everyone who shares our streets feel your blessing in their lives. We pray for everyone who's working to gradually reopen businesses, community services, and places of worship. Guide those in positions of responsibility to make decisions which prioritise safety and care over all else, and support those who are not yet in a position to reopen. We pray too for those facing redundancy and unemployment. May they find hope in your promise amidst the despair of the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The Lord is near to all who call on him. We lay at your feet all our heavy burdens. During this time of pandemic, we pray for all who are suffering with coronavirus and all who are working to cure them. We pray too for those whose treatments for other ailments have been postponed or interrupted as a result, and particularly this week for cancer charities whose fundraising activities have been curtailed. From our own parish, we pray for George Brown, Ginny Camponi, Tom Heafy, Jennifer Mode. Lord, uphold all who are falling and raise up all who are bowed down. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. Turn our sorrow into dancing and our mourning into joyful songs of praise. We hold before you all who have died, in grateful thanks for their lives. This week we remember Helen Almond, Pam Wood, Audrey Holland, who have recently died. And on the anniversary of their deaths, we remember Stephen Noble, Harry Rutherford Sr. Restore in your image and glory all who have entered into your rest, and guide and comfort all who are preparing to. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We are all one in Christ Jesus. We belong to him through faith, heirs of the promise of the Spirit of peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Blessed be God, by whose grace creation is restored, by whose love heaven is opening, by whose mercy we offer our sacrifice of praise. Blessed be God forever. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
You are worthy of our thanks and praise, Lord God of truth. For by the breath of your mouth you have spoken your word, and all things have come into being. You fashioned us in your image, and placed us in the garden of your delight. Though we chose the path of rebellion, you would not abandon your own. Again and again you drew us into your covenant of grace. You gave your people the law, and taught us by your prophets to look for your reign of justice, mercy, and peace. As we watch for the signs of your kingdom on earth, we echo the song of the angels in heaven, evermore praising you and singing.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest.
Holy One, enthroned in splendour and light. Yet in the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, you reveal the power of your love, made perfect in our human weakness. Amen, Lord, we believe. Embracing our humanity, Jesus showed us the way of salvation. Loving us to the end, he gave himself to death for us. Dying for his own, he set us free from the bonds of sin, that we might rise and reign with him in glory. Amen. Lord, we believe. On the night he gave up himself for us all, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. Lord, we believe. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Amen. Lord, we believe. Therefore, we proclaim the death that he suffered on the cross. We celebrate his resurrection, his bursting from the tomb. We rejoice that he reigns at your right hand on high, and we long for his coming in glory. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. As we recall the one perfect sacrifice of our redemption, Father, by your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of your creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ and make us a perfect offering in your sight. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, look with favour on your people and in your mercy hear the cry of our hearts. Bless the earth, heal the sick, let the oppressed go free, and fill your church with power from on high. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Gather your people from the ends of the earth to feast with Blessed Mary, St. Peter and St. Paul and all your saints at the table in your kingdom where the new creation is brought to perfection in Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. Let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. God's holy gifts for God's holy people. Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
The blood of Christ. Let us pray. Eternal God, comfort of the afflicted and healer of the broken, you have fed us at the table of life and hope. Teach us the ways of gentleness and peace, that all the world may acknowledge the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God, who in Christ gives us a spring of water welling up to eternal life, perfect in you the image of his glory, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in the peace of Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.